Swarupe Bandhar Heno Twila Ragunater Kante Tahan Kichu Ye Shunilan Taha Ihan Vistarilun Bhaktagane Dilun Ebhate Bhete. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the topmost of jewels. They have been kept in the storehouse of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who has explained them to Raghunath Das Goswami, who has repeated them to me. Whatever little I have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, I have described in this book, which is presented to all devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All the scriptures of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were noted by his personal secretary, Swarup Damodar, and repeated to Raghunath Das Goswami, who mentioned them, who memorized them. Whatever Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami heard is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is called the Parampara system. From Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Swarup Damodar, to Raghunath Das Goswami, to Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has distributed this information in his book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the essence of the instruction given through the Parampara system of the disciplic succession stemming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Travel in the direction of Vrindavan. Chanting and dancing together in great ecstasies of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya, early in one morning, he asked Keshav Bharati Maharaj to return to his ashram. And they began to travel. Meanwhile, Chandrasekhar Acharya was told to explain to the residents of Navadvip that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has entered into the forest. Meanwhile, the next morning, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left Navadvip to take sannyas, all the devotees came to Lord Chaitanya's house, as they would come every morning to greet him. But on this day, they saw a tragic wonder. Sachi Devi was standing at the door, motionless. She looked to be the very personification of grief in separation from Godhead. She stood like a statue, tears incessantly flowing from her eyes. And the devotees could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their beloved friend, master, their very life and soul, had left them. Somehow or other, they all fell at the feet of Mother Sachi. And coming back to a state of semi-external consciousness, still weeping, she told them all, Nimai has gone. He has renounced the world. Now I have no reason to live. Whatever property I have, my home, now you are his devotees. It is your inheritance. You take it all. When the devotees heard this news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left Navadvip to take sannyas, they all began to fall to the ground unconscious. It was a utter shock to their hearts. They were weeping and crying and rolling in the ground. And soon after that, Chandrasekhar Acharya arrived to give them the news that the Lord has taken sannyas. I was there, and now he has entered into the forest. When the devotees heard this, they could not maintain their composure. Advaita Acharya, inflicted severely by this news, he began to weep and to cry and to fall down and to stand up and to fall down. And then he cried out, "I will not live. I will go to the Ganges and take my life. And if any of you try to stop me, then in the middle of the night when no one is around, I will drown myself in the Ganges." And then he started walking toward the Ganges. Because for the devotees of the Lord, without the association of Krishna, there is no life. Krishna consciousness means life. Without Krishna consciousness, there is no spiritual factor in our existence. And it is spirituality that is the source and the basis of life. It is a reality. People in this world living without Krishna consciousness are veritably walking corpses. Although the soul in their body is animating their physical frame, because they have no consciousness or connection of the nature of that soul, they are living for death. The body is a dead corpse. To live for the body means to live for a corpse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, "Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name." Bereft of the sight of Lord Govinda, the whole creation is a dreary, empty void. There is nothing to achieve. There's nothing to desire. There's no reason to live. All of the devotees of Navadvip, upon hearing Advaitacharya's commitment to drown himself in Ganga, they all agreed, this is the only thing that we can do. So they all resolved and committed themselves to drown themselves at the Ganga. And they all started walking in the direction of Ganga. But then a voice, a transcendental voice, was heard from the sky, which spoke, "Do not commit suicide by drowning in the Ganges. Maintain your bodies, because within 2 or 4 days, the Lord of and life of your existence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will be with you again. And you will be dancing and singing together just as before. So please be patient, have faith, and chant the holy names of the Lord." Hearing this, the devotees, headed by Advaita, gave up their idea of drowning in Ganga. And with the only hope that Lord Chaitanya would return, sustaining their lives, they came together to chant the holy names. They constantly were around Sachimata, trying to somehow or other pacify her of the grief of her separation from her child. Meanwhile, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began traveling with the great ecstasy of anticipation of coming to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, Lord Nityananda Prabhu understood the heart of the Lord. The Lord's heart is always to please his devotees. and that it would be more pleasing to him to give pleasure to his devotees than to go to Vrindavan himself. So thus, Nityananda Prabhu, in his own inconceivable and mysterious way, performed a wonderful pastime simply for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. He approached a boy who was herding cows and told him, when a sannyasi comes and asks you which direction it is to the Jamuna in Vrindavan, you show him the direction to Ganga. So Lord Chaitanya was in a great trance. He did not eat anything. For several days, he was just dancing and singing and weeping and ecstatically traveling on his journey to Vrindavan. And he asked this cowherd boy. And meanwhile, the news was sent to Advaitacharya to meet him at the Ganga near Santipur. So Lord Chaitanya came to the river Ganges, and he thought it was Jamuna. He thought he had come to Vrindavan. And in great ecstasy, he began to take his bath. And just at that moment, Advaitacharya came on a boat with dry clothes and said, "My dear Lord, here is your change of clothes." And Lord Chaitanya inquired, "How did you know I was in Vrindavan? How did you know and how did you come so quickly to the Jamuna?" Advaitacharya replied, "This is not Jamuna. This is the holy river Ganga." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then Advaita said, "But actually, my Lord, wherever your feet are, that is Vrindavan. Because your lotus feet are the very source of all holy places. Wherever you place your feet, that becomes Vrindavan. So yes, you are in Vrindavan." But Lord Chaitanya became very upset externally that Nityananda Prabhu has cheated me. And Advaitacharya, he began to explain that actually Nithai has not cheated you. You wanted to go to Jamuna? Well, at the holy place called Prayag, the Ganges and the Jamuna become one river. And from that point, what is called the Ganges, actually the eastern side is the Ganges, but the western side is the Jamuna. And since you are bathing in the western side, Lord Nityananda Prabhu is correct. You are bathing in Jamuna. But you have been fasting for 3 days. You haven't eaten anything. So please come to my home for prasad. So they came to Sri Advaitacharya's home. And Advaitacharya showed Lord Chaitanya his deity room. There was a magnificent feast prepared. So many preparations, mountains of first-class fine rice with ghee, and so many sabjis and cakes and sweetmeats. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at it all and said, "This is wonderful how you have cooked so much for the Lord." He said, "You just give me one tiny little portion of some cooked vegetables." And Advaitacharya said, no, you please take some of everything, except a portion of everything I have cooked." So Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down, and Advaitacharya began to serve massive quantities of prasad to both of them. So many preparations. And Lord Chaitanya said, "How could I possibly eat so much?" And Nityananda Prabhu, he became, in his own humorous way, quite upset. He said, "We have been fasting for 3 days, and Advaitacharya has cooked such a small portion of prasad, it appears I will have to continue to fast. There is not enough here to fill half my belly." Advaitacharya, He told Nityananda Prabhu that you are a renunciate Brahman and you come to people's homes to give your blessings. So I am giving you whatever little I have. So you should be happy to accept it and receive and give me your blessings. So they began to take prasad. And every time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would finish half of a bowl of prasad, Advaitacharya was right there to fill it back up. And this was going on and on and on, and however much Lord Chaitanya ate, his plate was still practically completely full. And Nityananda Prabhu, the same thing. And ultimately, Nityananda Prabhu, he became even more externally upset in his humorous way. He said, what is the use of eating all this? What is the use of eating this food? There's not enough. You have no consideration to please your guests properly. And Advaitacharya, he called Nityananda Prabhu a reject Paramhamsa. And Nityananda Prabhu, after eating for some time, he took some handful of rice and threw it on the ground. He said, no use eating, there's not enough. And then that rice, after touching the ground, one piece of it hit Advaitacharya's body. And as soon as that piece of rice hit Advaitacharya's body, he started leaping in the air and dancing in ecstatic love. He said, because I have been touched by the food eaten by a madman, I have become mad. These wonderful pastimes between Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu are very pure spiritual pastimes. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that if one thinks that these are ordinary quarrels, like people of this world, they are condemned. They are actually expressions of reciprocation, of ecstatic love between two most exalted personalities, Mahavishnu and Balaram. Mother Sachi was called, along with the residents of Navadvip, to Shantipur to meet with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In great anticipation, they all arrived. And when the devotees saw Lord Chaitanya for the first time in the robes of a sannyasi, they were simultaneously in great ecstasy to see their beloved again, but in great pain to see him in the robes of one who has given up all the pleasures of this world. And when Sachi Mata saw her child, beloved Nimai, with his beautiful, beautiful hair, which attracted all the world, shaven from his head, and in the drab saffron kopan of a sannyasi, she began to weep and weep and weep. Lord Chaitanya, overwhelmed by the bhakti, the love of his mother, he fell at her lotus feet. And Sachi Mata, in parental affection, lifted Lord Chaitanya and put him on her lap. And while the Lord was sitting on her legs, she began to kiss him. And her eyes were so filled with tears she could hardly see. We should know that Sachi Mata is Yashoda Mai. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. This is the pure, ultimate expression of Vatsalya Ras in the spiritual world that was taking place in the home of Advaita Acharya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak to Sachi Devi
that actually you have given me birth in this body, and you have cared for me with so much attention and devotion throughout my whole life. My body is your property. Somehow or other, in madness, I have taken sannyas. But I offer my life to you, and whatever you want me to do, and wherever you want me to reside, I will follow. When Sachimata heard this, she began to explain that certainly, even a moment without seeing you is like unbearable time. Seeming to be like yugas. And certainly, to serve you and to personally care for you is my life and soul. But ultimately, my only real happiness is in your happiness. And as a sannyasi, if you live home with me, people will criticize you, and that criticism will be too painful for my heart. Therefore, please, do not go to Vrindavan, because it is a very far place, and I will never hear from you. But the same Krishna of Vrindavan is living in his form of Jagannath, in Sri Purushottam Dham, Jagannath Puri. My request is that you make your residence in Jagannath Puri Dham. Because Puri and Navadvipa are like two rooms in the same house. At all times, people are going back and forth. So I will always be able to hear your wonderful pastimes. On the request of Sachimata, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to make his residence in Jagannath Puri. Meanwhile, Advaitacharya requested that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stay for some more days and enjoy wonderful kirtan with his devotees. Lord Chaitanya was always subordinate to the desires of his devotees. All the devotees were making so many wonderful arrangements to cook for Lord Chaitanya during those days. But Sachimata came forward, and with great, great humility, she presented her heart before the devotees. She said, "You are all the Lord's devotees. You will be able to go to Puri to see him regularly. But I am his mother. And a sannyasi is not to come to his own home. Therefore, I may never be able to see him. So please grant me this benediction. As long as Lord Chaitanya is here in Shantipur, allow me to cook all of his prasad for him." And when the devotees heard this expression of Sachimata's great, great love, they became very happy and glorified the characteristics of her devotion. Sachimata cooked throughout the day for Nimai, who had now become the greatest crest jewel of all sannyasis, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Throughout the day, wonderful, wonderful kirtans were performed in the house of Advaitacharya. And to this day, at his house in Shantipur, devotees remember the wonderful pastimes of these kirtans. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were dancing together, and you can imagine the emotions of these devotees. After feeling the imminent loss of Lord Chaitanya forever when the news came that he took sannyas, to be with him again dancing and singing in great joy. And then Lord Chaitanya announced to the devotees that please do not be in distress. Whenever you are coming together to chant the holy names, I will reside within your hearts. And you come to Puri, and you be with me there. And sometimes when I come to bathe in Ganga, I will be with you here. So please do not be afraid. Do not be sad. But at this time, I will go to Jagannath Puri. And some devotees told Lord Chaitanya that this is not a good time to go to Jagannath Puri, because the various kingdoms are at this time having a war, and there are soldiers and guards everywhere. And anyone who is caught traveling on the roads will be beaten. They may be killed, tortured. So please, wait until the situation is more peaceful. Wait until the obstacles are less, and then you go peacefully to Jagannath Puri. At that time, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed the great message to everyone. When will there ever be a time in this earth where there are no obstacles? Obstacles and difficulties will always be on our path. Therefore, I will not wait. I will go to Jagannath Puri now. You declare that this is my decision. When Advaitacharya heard those words, he became ecstatic. He said, "My Lord, what obstacle could possibly stand before you? All obstacles are your servants." And this is a very, very sublime truth. The difficulties, the pains, the problems we endure in trying to execute our Krishna consciousness, we should actually see them as great opportunities and benedictions. Because if we behave properly, remaining faithful to the words of Guru in the face of those difficulties, we will make such great spiritual advancement, and we will give such pleasure to Krishna that would have not been possible if that obstacle did not come before us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very happy with Advaitacharya's words, like a great lion, he began to walk in the direction of the south. And the devotees began to follow him. And at a certain point, he turned around and embraced each and every one of them and told them, "You go home, and I will always be with you while you are together chanting the holy names of Krishna." There was a very great feeling of separation. In fact, it is explained that when Krishna left Vrindavan to Mathura with Akrura, the feeling that the gopis felt in separation was exactly the emotion that the devotees of Navadvipa felt when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left them to go to Jagannath Puri. Advaitacharya assigned just a few devotees to go with Lord Chaitanya: Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, Jagadananda. As they were traveling, Lord Chaitanya looked at his associates and he asked them, "Have you brought any supplies?" And the devotees said, "No. How could we bring any supplies? How could we do anything without your permission?"
And Lord Chaitanya became very happy. He said, this is very good. If you would have brought anything, I would have sent you away. We should depend only on Krishna. What do we need? Krishna will supply whatever we require. There is no need to make any endeavor for one's maintenance in this world. He said, even a big, big, great king could have so opulent foods. But if somebody comes and insults him, his mind will be so disturbed, he will not be able to eat one bite. Or he may get indigestion or a fever or a disease, and even though the most opulent preparations are put before him, he will not be able to eat even a single thing. But the Lord is providing for even the birds. They have no shortage. They are eating nicely, whatever they need. So if you have faith in Krishna, there is no need for external endeavors. If it is within your destiny to eat, you will eat. And if it is not within your destiny to eat, no matter how many efforts you make, you will not be able to take anything. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. They came to one village. It was called Chatrabhoga. And there, hundreds of the Ganges became hundreds of little streams with little mouths where they fell into. And it's a very, very holy place. There is a deity of the name, or there is a ghat, a bathing ghat, on the Ganges called Ambulinga Ghat. And the story was that after King Bhagirath took the Ganges to the earth, Lord Shiva was feeling intense separation from the river Ganges. So he came to this place called Chatrabhoga, and there he met with Mother Ganga in an ecstatic love for Mother Ganges. He bathed in her, and as he bathed, he melted in ecstasy, and he became water. And the merging of the water of Shiva and the water of Ganges made it into a very great holy place. And since then, millions of people go there to take bath at that ghat. And of course, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet touched that water, then it became even millions of times more purified and sanctified as a holy place. At this place called Chatrabhoga, there was a very wealthy governor. His name was Ramchandra Khan. And although he had so much incredible facility for sense gratification, he was a very pious devotee. And Lord Chaitanya, on his way to Puri, was so much longing to see Jagannath that at one point he was just laying on the ground crying. And the governor, he came, and he saw him, and he said, I have never seen so much crying and suffering in my whole life. What has happened? And Lord Chaitanya began to explain that actually the devotees told the governor, and then they introduced Lord Chaitanya to the governor. They said, this is the governor of the province. He is a very powerful and wealthy man. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and he said, you are the governor? Tell me, which direction is it to Jagannath's temple? And the governor, he explained that at this time it's very, very, very difficult to travel to Jagannath's temple. There are so many dacoits and so many thieves and so many soldiers. It's very dangerous. He said, but I will give my life to make sure you go there. I will make every possible arrangement. But first you come to my home for prasad. The Lord Chaitanya came to Ramchandra's home, and Ramchandra washed his feet and served him wonderful, wonderful food. And in this way,
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and gave him love of God.
Even though he was a politician, he was a governor, and he was also attached to so much sense gratification. Simply because he wanted to assist and help the Lord gave him the crest jewel of all gifts, pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya stayed with him, and then at night, Ramchandra Khan secretly took him to a boat. He said, quietly, this boat will take you through the dangerous provinces of Bengal, and when you come to Orissa, then things will be safe. Because Orissa was ruled by Maharaj Pratap Rudra, it was a Vaishnav state. So, actually not yet a Vaishnav state, but it was a safe state. After Lord Chaitanya came, it became Vaishnav state. So they were on the boat, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Mukunda to sing very loudly kirtan. And Mukunda Dat began to sing, and all the devotees were dancing on the boat and singing very loudly. And the boatman became very much afraid. He said, stop, stop the singing. You do not know how dangerous it is. There are tigers, unlimited tigers on both sides of the river. And as you know, tigers swim very well, very nicely. And not only that, in the river there's dangerous man-eating crocodiles. And in these forests, there are thieves and dacoits who will torture you and kill you if they find out you're here. So let us be completely quiet until we reach the border of Orissa. And when the devotees heard this, they became silent for some time. And then Lord Chaitanya, he said, why are you silent? Chant the holy names loudly. Why are you afraid? Do you not know when devotees are chanting the holy names, they are protected by the Lord? The Sudarshan Chakra is behind us and in front of us to protect his devotees. Loudly, take the holy names of Krishna. Krishna is non-different than his name. When devotees sincerely take the name of Krishna, they are always under the protection of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach us that whatever situation in life, be fearless and take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Because Krishna will always protect such a devotee who is pleasing him in this way. How he protects? That is his sweet will. If you are chanting the holy names of Krishna sincerely, he could remove all darkness of danger in this world like the sun removes the darkness of the night. Or he may choose to protect you by allowing you to get killed. But if you're chanting the holy names, your soul will immediately go back home, back to Godhead. What greater protection is that? Krishna will always protect his devotee who is taking shelter of his holy name. On the way, there was a toll collector. And this toll collector, when he saw the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, he said, "You kindly go." But then the other devotees, he said, you have to pay tolls. But as we already explained, Lord Chaitanya did not permit them to take anything with them. So they said, you cannot come. But then he saw Lord Chaitanya sitting under a tree. The beauty of his form and the transcendental ecstasy of his chanting Hare Krishna and his longing to see Lord Jagannath
completely melted the heart of this materialistic toll collector. And the toll collector asked the devotees, "Who is that?" They said, "We are traveling with him." He said, "Oh, then you go." And when Lord Chaitanya saw that the toll collector did this favor for his devotees, he embraced the toll collector. And when embracing him, the toll collector began to tremble in ecstatic love of Krishna, became a nice devotee, chanting the holy names.